Now, there are some things that are important in life and some that are not. There are some decisions that we make that are important and some that are not so critical. Their importance may vary depending on what stage our lives are at. They can have good consequences or they can be disastrous. They can affect us for a short time, or like marriage or our career, they can steer the course of our life. But one decision that we make will not only affect us now and for the next few years, but for eternity. It will affect us forever. And it's how we answer the question that Jesus posed to the disciples in verse 27. Who do people say I am? Or more importantly, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Who do you understand that I am? This is an important question. It is not only an important question, it is probably the most important question that we will ever be asked. And dare I say, how you answer it and apply it to your life will determine your eternal destiny. Whether you will live your life for God or whether you will face his judgment. One person has said there is, after all, only one basic question in life. Who is Jesus? He is the only one who can give you peace now and into eternity. Now, this question that was put to us here, that was put to the disciples, brings the first half of Mark's gospel to a climax. And if you read through those previous chapters, and we did look at chapter 1 last week with Tim, it's been supplying the evidence for answering that very question. Now, you'd think that after 2,000 years, we would have worked out the correct answer to that question. But the world in general has not done that. It certainly ignores who Jesus really is. But that's not much different to the time Jesus walked on the earth. And even with those who walked with him at the time, those who were following him, they did not see the picture clearly, as we will see in our passage today. There was a lot of blindness around then about who Jesus was, just as there is today. So we'll look at our passage now as it was read to us from chapter 8. We do see one thing fairly clearly from these first couple of verses, that Jesus was a person with Jesus had compassion, and that's quite clear from these first three verses. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance." So as we see there, they had been with Jesus. This crowd had been with Jesus for 3 days. They were about to go home. That some had come from a long way, because in those areas, the towns only had one or 2,000 people, and there were 4,000 people, as we know, here at that time. Their food had run out, so he told the disciples that they would need to be fed. Now, that would not have been a problem if they were at the MCG. And Martin's got a list of places there. If they were at the MCG, they would have had a choice of 6 Red Roosters, 6 pizza stores, a kebab store, health food stores. And if you add all those up, there would be about 75 different places that they could have got some food from, 75 outlets. But you know, it still should not have been a problem to the disciples at that point in time. Because if you go back a chapter or so in Mark there, you'll read all about the feeding of 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and 2 fish. And what's more, Jesus had performed many other miracles. However, to those disciples at that point in time, it was still a problem, because they said in verse 4, His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" They still not grasped or consistently realised who Jesus was. They appeared to be a bit slow. They didn't really understand his power to answer not only their spiritual needs but also their physical needs. They were still thinking in a secular level, not a spiritual one. They'd not grasped that this man, Jesus, was someone different to them, that he was unique. Even though they'd given up all to follow him and to support him, they did not really realise he was not only a man, but he was God and capable of anything that he commanded. So all they really needed to do when Jesus said they need to be fed, all they had to do was say, "Look, we've got 7 loaves and a bread and we've got 2 fish. Would you bless them and we'll start handing the food around?" Instead, Jesus again had to take the initiative and to ask them, what did they have? Verse 5 it says, "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples and set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. So once again, the people were given all that they needed. They were able to go home satisfied, and what's more, there was more food left over than when they had begun. So had the disciples finally learnt who Jesus really was? Or were they still blinded? Well, we're going to continue to follow that through, and we'll see that a little later. But with the evidence that we have before us today, the question is, do you really know and believe and trust who Jesus is? Or are you blinded to the truth and the character of Jesus and his claims upon your life? And so what happened after that, after Jesus had fed these 4,000 and they'd gone home? The disciples moved to another region. But this time they were confronted by a different group of people. Before, Jesus was addressing a crowd of people who were prepared to travel long distances and who were eager to hear from him. They had an inquiring but a believing mind. But no doubt on the periphery, on the edge of this crowd, were some Pharisees, some religious leaders, so-called religious leaders, who were ready to see him trip up. And that's what they wanted him to do. But now at this point in time, they'd cornered him. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply. "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." They were out to test him, but I don't think they really wanted to believe. He was a threat to their status in life, their way of life. All they were interested in was to discredit him. They just wanted to pull him down. They wanted to find fault in him so that he could be discredited. Now, there are people like this in our world today, aren't there, who don't want to believe even with all the evidence before them. They want further proof, as these Pharisees were demanding. But that's really just an excuse, and that's what the Pharisees were doing. It was really just an excuse to discredit Jesus and to ignore him. But what more evidence did they need? John the Baptist had come to prepare the way, as the prophet Isaiah had predicted, but they didn't like him. He was imprisoned and then he was beheaded. And Jesus had performed all sorts of miracles, and now they were wanting another sign. They wanted absolute proof of who Jesus was. But Jesus wasn't going to fall for that. He wasn't going to fall into that trap. And Jesus did not and does not really need to prove himself in this way. He stands alone. And even later on, as we read past this time, that Jesus was taunted when he was hung on the cross. They said there, one of the prisoners beside him said, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But again, he did not respond to that. by getting down off the cross. He really didn't have to prove himself, and he does not have to prove himself to us today. He knew the Pharisees weren't genuine. Besides, when he did perform miracles and give signs, they were really performed out of compassion, as we said before, rather than to prove who he was. He wanted people to believe in who he was rather than what he did. Now, following this visit from the Pharisees, Jesus again hopped in their boat and moved to the other side of the lake. During this time, Jesus took the opportunity to counsel them. If we go to verse 15, he said, "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." What did he mean by that? What did he mean by the yeast of the Pharisees? Well, this referred to their false understanding of Jesus. It referred to them wanting absolute proof of who Jesus was. And he didn't want them to fall into this trap. He didn't want them to be demanding this. And really it was a timely warning, because they may have had superior knowledge of Jesus, but really they were capable of being just as blind as the Pharisees and Herod were, because they were still hung up about their physical needs. In verse 16 it says, "They discussed this with one another and said, 'It is because we have no bread that he's talking to us about this.'" They still could not see the spiritual significance of what Jesus was saying. And Jesus is worried about their ability to discern. So he warns them. He said, "Are they ever going to learn? Are their hearts hardened?" He says, "Are they still blind to the truth?" And so he goes over it all again. As we read there, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" As we read that, the question is, are we like this? Are our hearts hardened? Are we still blind to who Jesus is? Because a lot of people are. What should blind to who he is and what our response should be? We have far more evidence than even these disciples had at the time. We have scriptures. Jesus has been to the cross. He's risen again. Yet many of us fail to respond to him. Are we just happy to mosey along and not to look too closely, afraid we might be challenged outside our comfort zone? Are we influenced by the yeast of this world? We're bombarded with arguments against the gospel of Jesus, by modern authors like Dawkins and Hitchens, by alternative feel-good New Age religions. But not only them, whenever we pick up a newspaper, whenever we turn on the radio, there are people who are belittling the gospel, who are belittling God's word, who are espousing how irrelevant Jesus is in this age. Are we influenced by this? Does this make it hard for us to believe? Are these influences hardening our hearts to Jesus, or putting our doubts into our mind as to who Jesus is? Is our society blinding us, which is saying that all you have to care about is yourself and having a good time? To live for now, do not have anything to do with God, because he is irrelevant. There's lots of pressure out there, isn't there, from the world, from the yeast of the world, when we come to wanting to make a decision about Jesus. But then on the other hand, maybe God is revealing himself to you a little at a time. At some point in our lives, most of us are totally blind to who Jesus is. But then we hear a little bit, and for many of us, the truth dawns gradually. And as we read this about this next part about the healing of the blind man at Bethsaida, we read there, They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's hands and put his hands on him, spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Why didn't Jesus heal him immediately? Well, it could have been just to illustrate the point that we're talking about, where we can see some truth in Jesus, but do not fully understand. In this account, there was a desire to reach out to Jesus. It said there, "And some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him." And what did Jesus do in this instance here? He took him outside the village. Now, that was for a couple of reasons. He didn't want to publicly major on this miracle of healing him. He was going to be asked to heal him, so he took him outside. He didn't really want to do that too publicly. But also, it was a noisy atmosphere and they needed to get away from the crowd. And sometimes we need to step back from the crowd. We need to step back from the world, from the pressures of the world, and really contemplate who Jesus is for ourselves. Away from the influences that want to turn us from Jesus and give him the opportunity to heal us of our blindness towards him. Because remember, how we answer that question, who is Jesus, will determine where we spend eternity. It is well worth the time. It is well worth the time to spend in finding out who Jesus really is. We may not see the full picture at once. We may just see it a little at a time. But if we have the will and desire to know him completely, then God will heal us. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And if we read on in John's Gospel, it says there, "And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." If we seek after him, if we seek after Jesus, we will find him. So I wonder if the disciples were getting the picture any better now. Jesus is still concerned about them, no doubt. These are the group of people who are to take his message to the world when he's gone. They've followed him right throughout his ministry, but they and will continue to do so while he's here. But they haven't seen clearly at this point who he really is. They're still very much in training. The question is, do they have the basics right? So during their travels, he asked them a couple of questions. Verse 27, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." So he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" What we find out that Herod and others were saying that John the Baptist had risen from the dead. If we go back a couple of chapters there, Herod had said that. Others were saying Elijah. The Old Testament mentioned that he will return before the day of judgment. Some others were saying that he was just one of the old prophets. Now we could add, because you hear these things from time to time, that he was a good teacher, that he was the most moral man that ever lived, a best example of how to live. But none of these really sum up who Jesus really is. C.S. Lewis said, "Jesus is either a legend, a liar, a lunatic, or his Lord." Or his Lord. There are just so many ways of saying, of looking at who Jesus is, but none of them are really getting to the point. And so that was a general question that he put to the people, to put to the disciples. But now he puts a more personal one, and it This is the question and the answer that is relevant to us today. In verse 29, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And if we read about this account in Matthew, what Peter said there was, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So finally the penny is beginning to drop. They knew he was unique. They knew he could perform miracles. They knew he was a great teacher. But Peter now recognised that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. But did he fully understand it? I doubt it at that time, because we have the benefit of hindsight when we read later on where Peter still had his doubts after Jesus' death and resurrection. He wouldn't fully believe until he was able to put his hand in Jesus' side and see the nail prints. But right now he was beginning to see who Jesus really was. He had the most basic belief correct. He acknowledged that Jesus was the Saviour that God's people had been waiting centuries for. He was the one who was prophesied to come as the Messiah. And like the blind man, he may have not seen the full picture, but he was on the right track. He now had a foundation to build his belief and faith on. So after looking at all that, how do you see Jesus? Do you see him as your Saviour? Or do you see him as just a good teacher or a good example of how to live? Well, Peter said, "He is the Christ. He is the Saviour." And that is the only point, really, that we can start from. We can really only start. We have to first see him as the Saviour. We have to start from that point. And then when we do recognise this, then we will begin to see him more clearly. We will see that it's not just an intellectual belief, not just words that we say with our lips, but a belief that will change our whole lives, a belief and faith that demands some action, a belief that demands we genuinely want to turn our lives around and follow him. So if you were asked that question that Jesus asked Peter, well, really, I'm asking you that now. Who do you say that Jesus is? Would you say he's just an historical figure, or do you see him as your own personal Saviour? Is he the person who has changed your life and given you peace? And is he the one you are trusting for eternity? Well, this is the Jesus that we read about in the passage of Scripture today, and he can be your Saviour today if you reach out to him. Maybe even after seeing all that now, it's a little foggy. You may have been looking at this for some time. Maybe it is a little foggy about what you know about Jesus. But like the blind man, when Jesus first puts his hands on him, but I suggest that you don't let this opportunity now go by to find out who Jesus really is. If it is a little foggy, if you don't fully understand, then I suggest that you seek out someone today to explain again how you can understand, along with Peter, that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus can be your Saviour and needs to be. You need to take him with you into eternity. Amen.